Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Congratulations. We have made it. Sell five fives all the way around. What is always nice for me as a Hanover County resident is to be out in Hanover County. I just don't think there's a better place on God's green earth. And last week was out in Beaver Dam, the Beaver Dam Independence Day Parade. And again, reminded every single moment while I was there why we have chosen to live in Hanover County. Just great people, wonderful, wonderful environment. And part of that was a nice thrill running into to my congressman, Congressman Rob Whitman. I'm happy to say he's with us today. Congressman, thanks for being here.
Jeff, it's great to be with you. And boy, I was honored to have my picture taken with the Grand Marshal of the Independence Day Parade of Beaver Dam. Boy, what a great honor. I know you're so humble you wouldn't say a word about it, but I thought it was a distinction well earned from somebody that loves Hanover County so much, such as yourself.
Oh, well, that is very kind. It was great to see you. And let's be honest, between my socks and your shirt, we couldn't help but social distance. Am I right?
That's right. That's exactly right. We social distance in our pictures. So that was we were following all the rules, but we were flying the colors there, which is great. So.
Absolutely. Well, listen, great to run into you last week. Great to have you with us today. Let's talk a little bit about some economic issues, because I think for those of us in Hanover County, that's still front and center. How we get back to where we were just a few months ago. Do you have any sense of how that's playing out?
Well, listen, I think things are going well. I mean, you look at the unemployment numbers, you see that that the rate of people applying for unemployment is much less than what they anticipated. Businesses are reopening. All you have to do is look anecdotally and look at the traffic on the roads and talk to business owners, and things are moving in the right direction. Now, there are still other businesses that need to get to a higher level of operation in order to make up for what they've lost in the past. And some, quite honestly, won't ever make it up. They just want to try to get back to some semblance of operation. And listen, I think in Virginia that things are going pretty well. If you look at the cases of the disease, we just had several town hall calls with local elected officials and just folks in the district. And if you look, Virginia's actually faring pretty well out of all of this. So I think that we're on track and getting things done. I do know that, there still, though, is apprehension out there, Jeff, with folks. I mean, if you look at some of the things that are happening and, disconcerting, you look at something as simple as the new General Assembly building and the construction there, and the construction crew in the spirit of the 4th of July put a flag up on the building and then were told to take it down. And people are just beside themselves on that, as am I, to somehow think that symbol of that flag was somehow objectionable or was going to be antagonistic and that they were told to take it down. Yeah. That flag should be put back up. I mean, that represents who we are as Americans. It's what should bring us together. It's not a symbol of division. So it's mindless to me to see something like that there, especially in light of, as you speak about people working together to bring this economy back.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree with you more about the flag. I'll tell you, when the story first came up, somebody sent me the story, and I thought for sure, as messed up as some people are, I thought, no, it's clearly it's going to be a satire thing. It's you know, it's The Onion, it's Babylon Bee, it's somebody else. And then you realize, oh my gosh, it's a true story. And I want to know who it was that ordered that flag down. I don't know about you. I really do want to know who it was that gave that order.
I do too. So somebody has to be responsible for that and has to be able to give a rational explanation about why the American flag was required by the state of Virginia to be taken down off of a state building. It's just mindless to me. You know, the flag flies over, as well as the state flag flies over the Capitol there. Why would you require it to be taken down on a building? And listen, I can tell you, people are fired up about this, as they should be. This is a symbol of our country, and we all demand an explanation as to who it was that had it taken down and what was the reasoning behind it. I think there has to be that transparency there.
I agree with you. Congressman Rob Whitman represents the first district in the House of Representatives. More importantly than that, he's my congressman, and he's a good guy. Rob, let me ask you about Governor Northam's comments earlier today, talking about a slight uptick in coronavirus cases out in Norfolk. And as a result of that, he threatens every school district in the Commonwealth, including those of us here in Hanover, with the possibility that our children may not be able to go back to school in September. What do we do about this?
Well, Jeff, I tell you, I've had several town hall calls today, one with local governing officials, school board members, everybody to a person, with the health director here in the Three Rivers Health District, everybody to a person, including parents, are concerned about, you know, what is happening with school reopenings. And listen, there is a balance there. There is a balance to say, let's protect our students, our children, but let's also not only protect their physical health, but let's protect their academic progress to make sure they do that. As you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics came out and said, you have to be able to do both. They believe that there is a risk if you don't keep in mind both, and if you're not going to allow schools to be reopened, then it has a significant impact on the student themselves, and how do they ever make up the progress that is not being attained by them being in the classroom. Not every student has access to high-speed broadband. Not every student can distance learn, can use virtual learning. So you exacerbate disparities that happen. And I've told the governor this multiple times. You exacerbate disparities that happen in rural areas. And listen, I understand the issues. And my wife's a teacher. I've heard from teachers that have said, hey, listen, we're concerned about our risk. They need to keep that in mind. But there has to be a balance there. And you have to look at, you know, the effect, especially on students in rural areas that just don't have that access, and it affects students the greatest that can afford it the least. So I think those things are incredibly important for the Commonwealth to make sure they're doing the right thing. Listen, each school system is looking at that about how they properly reopen, and they have to balance risk. And there will not be a scenario where there is zero risk. And parents in many school systems are going to have the choice between having their children at home or sending them to school. Unfortunately, for some parents, they don't have a choice. They have to go to work. If you're in the healthcare industry, you have to go to work. And if you're a parent that can work remotely, then you do have a choice as to whether your student or your child stays home or not. So there are a lot of really, really tough questions there that need to be answered, that need to provide certainty to parents, to teachers, to school boards, to a lot of folks out there that are just, you know, really concerned about both elements, the health of students, parents and grandparents that they come home to, teachers, but also the academic progress of students. I don't want to see a generation of students get left behind because they have this gap in their educational opportunities.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of us, and I include the Katz family, we chose Hanover County for a number of reasons, and right near the top of the list were the Hanover County Public Schools. We love the system. We're very proud to have two of our kids over at Patrick Henry High School, go Patriots, and they're great people, and of course the last thing any of us would want would be a teacher or a counselor to contract this or that, but the future of our children really is at stake here. You know, they can't afford to simply miss a year's worth of education. And I know there was a great effort on the part of not just Hanover County Public Schools and Dr. Gill and the gang, but everybody across the state to somehow provide 90 days of virtual learning and the rest of it. But you know as well as I do, you know probably better with your wife as a teacher, it's just not the same.
No, it's not. And remember, it's not the same. And listen, I give school systems credit. Dr. Gill has done a tremendous job there about making sure that students that don't have connectivity are actually getting lessons delivered to them. Buses are getting meals to these children. They go into extraordinary circumstances to do that. But the question is at some point, it does have a longer-term effect. And I think that school systems are looking at that and going, the children that are most at risk, the children that are most challenged in learning, do best with in-person instruction. You cannot replace in-person instruction with virtual instruction. And plus, virtual instruction for younger children is not as effective as it is for older children. Listen, my wife's a school teacher. I've listened to her here in the house online with younger students. It is a challenge. And for kindergartners and first graders, you can do some of it, but you can't do a whole lot of it because you have to be able to have those students in an environment where you can maintain their attention. And it's harder to do virtually online. So there are a lot of challenges there. And listen, the school systems and our school superintendents like Dr. Gill are doing everything possible. But what we want to make sure is that they're allowed to look at all the different risks. You know, look at the risks of health, but also look at the long-term risks to our children. And we don't want them to be left behind, Jeff. I don't want them, because of this, to now have to carry with them through their lifetime a lack of progress. And the longer this goes on, the harder it is for them to make it up. And for some, they just won't be able to make it up. You know, if you're in the early stages of learning, especially with reading skills, again, my wife's a reading teacher, so I hear about this all the time. If you don't make progress in early reading skills, that is first, second, and third grade, that follows you throughout your lifetime. And many times, it's hard to make that up. And if you miss that, the question is how much additional time will it take in the future to make that ground up, and will you ever make it up? I think that those are really important questions to ask in addition to the student's individual health. And we have to be able to do both, and we can do both. You can't just say, no, we're going to shut it down and we'll figure it out later. No, we've got to make sure we get it right now because our children's future depends on it.
Hey, Rob, before I let you go, and I know we're over time, but I've got to ask you about the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. My understanding is that there's a lot of money, at least to me it's a lot of money. Maybe to D.C. it's not all that much money, but to me it seems like there's a lot of money left in that fund for businesses, especially in the first congressional district that are thinking we may or may not make it. They still have time to try and get a piece of that, right?
They do. There's still $100 billion left in the program from the last tally that I had heard. I've got to check to see if the application process is still open. It seems like to me that there was a window there as to when businesses could apply, and I'll have to make sure that I get information back to you, Jeff, so that you can put it up so that people know. But I do know that there was money left over. We've had a lot of discussions, you know, with what's going to happen going forward. I want to make sure before we consider spending an additional penny that we look at every dollar that's already been appropriated and determine where is it? Is there money left over? And if it is, let's take that first and put it into different places than saying, well, now we're going to spend more money on top of the $2.8 trillion or so that has already been appropriated. But I'll get you that information back. But I do know that at least the last figure that I had is that there was money left over in the PPP account. I know there is money still available in the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, better known as the EIDL program. So there are still opportunities for businesses out there, if nothing else, in the EIDL program to be able to get the assistance that they need. There are still some businesses, too, that are kind of on the outside looking in, or organizations that could need help that, you know, might be looked at in this next machination of what we do to keep this economy on track.
Fair enough. Listen, it's always a pleasure to have you here, and I thank you, as always, for taking the time, and we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Jeff, we look forward to it. It was great to see you there in Beaver Dam on Independence Day, and we look forward to seeing you again. And listen, I'll make sure for your listeners that we get you the information on the window of opportunity for the PPP program. I do know that there's money still left. I want to make sure we give people the proper information about if they can continue to apply for that.
Much appreciated. Have a great weekend. That is Congressman Rob Whitman, Congressman in the 1st District, my congressman, as a matter of fact. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.